I had a professor in college who was very, my English literature professor, and he was very particular about dictionaries, and he said, in my class, you will always use the Merriam-Webster dictionary. So out of honor for him, we have the definition of fame from Merriam-Webster. The condition of being known or recognized by many people. We know what this looks like from celebrities. If you watch people, celebrities, if they go out, they get mobbed by people. Everyone knows where they go. It's hard for them to go to a restaurant or to a store, you know. If Tom Cruise walked into Walmart, it'd be a long line. It'd be a problem. You'd know that. So to be famous, what does it mean to seek that attention out for yourself? And does that happen to us? So why don't we pray, and we'll ask God to bless our time. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word, that we could realize what's important. I pray that you give us insight, give us wisdom, and help us to learn from you. Amen. You know, in my career, one of the things I noticed, I used to work for a construction company, and I did this big event where I actually won this OSHA award at one of my job sites, which is a big deal. OSHA is the safety organization in construction. And this is the first site in our company that I used to work for that did this. And we had the president there, and people spoke. It was my job site. Everyone there worked for me. And we won this award, and we got the plaque, you know, from OSHA, and there was pictures of people shaking hands, and I looked at all the pictures looking for a picture of me holding the plaque and all that stuff. And you know what I found? There was no picture of me. Not one. And I go, how did that happen? It's my job site. Everyone, I don't have one picture of me. And one of the things I thought, I wasn't good at promoting myself. It wasn't something that came naturally. I kind of figure if I work hard and do things, people will notice at the right time. But there are sometimes that didn't work. And so I kind of think, you know, that's part of how I operate. I actually promote things in the church and God's word and myself a little more than I used to, definitely more than I used to, but that didn't come naturally to me. So I didn't relate to this fame topic too much, or seeking attention in a lot of ways. And I was thinking about fame, and there's very obvious fame, where celebrity style fame, where someone can't go anywhere. And I thought, well, that's not me. That's probably not most of us. Most of you live in DuPage County or nearby. You're living in the far west suburbs of Chicago, and not many of us are that famous. So I thought, well, but there's fame in a subtle way, seeking attention in a subtle way. I was thinking, well, where does it start? And I realized it's in high school. Isn't it? And I thought back to my high school days, and there was a desire to be recognized, to be accepted, to be noticed. And I was not in whatever that in crowd was in high school. It wasn't my crowd. But I desired, I felt bad because I wasn't that in crowd. You know, I went back to my 25th high school reunion, 25 years later. You know that in crowd? They weren't so in 25 years later. So I thought, well, fame, I don't know. The way I think about it, is that really a problem? It's really a problem for us. Is it really part of our culture? Do we really think about that? We're here in our little town doing our little thing. I don't think so. I don't think it's a big issue. Greg wrote the topic. I have to teach on it because he wrote it down. And then I realized I was wrong. Anyone know who this guy is? He's the guy you love to hate on television. He's a very opinionated, I don't know what his title is. Very opinionated person. He was the judge, one of the judges on American Idol. American Idol. And you know, opinionated people are fun to watch because there's always something happening. It's not always good, it's not always bad, but it's always interesting. And so our culture, we live in a culture that is holding up this fame issue. I went on to look at a list of reality-based TV shows. Is fame a big part of our culture? Seeking that. America's top model. What is that saying? Who is the next person who's going to be famous? We're going to find that person. And you're going to see who they are because you're watching them on TV. American Idol. Who's going to be the next person who's so famous they can't go somewhere? We're going to find them. There's a whole bunch of these Got Talent shows. It started with America's Got Talent. And you've seen Britain's Got Talent. Australia's Got Talent. It might be states next. Florida has talent. Alabama has talent. I don't know. I'm exaggerating. But there's a whole series of shows in this. The Voice. My daughter watches The Voice. She likes that, right? Who's the next person who's going to... Top Chef, is that the new, is that what it's called? Top Chef, the guys who do all the cooking? Do I got that right? But we're trying to see who's going to be popular, who's going to be famous next. But that's just on TV. These are the most popular shows in the country. And they're trying to invent up new ones all the time. Who's going to be the next famous person? We regard, not saying you, but in our culture, boy, this is where we are. It's a big thing. It's a big aspect of our culture. Now, fame in some ways has become easier because of media. People can be famous and you've never met them. No one's even told you, just watch something they did and you know about them. And I wanted to look at a good example of fame from a long time ago. So we have fame, seeking fame for today, seeking to be elevated, the next idol, the next top model, the next person who has talent, who's pushed up into the limelight, suddenly, quickly. How does God do that? There are people who are famous in the Bible, famous in the Old Testament. They didn't have this media way to get around. Moses, surely. Moses was a famous man. Abraham, Jacob were known throughout their land. They had influence. They were known. And I want to look at an example of Solomon. Solomon became king of Israel after King David. And Solomon started very well, started in a humble way. And actually, if I didn't put it in the notes here, but if you get a chance to read what he asked God, he said, God, I have a great task, and I'm paraphrasing, I have a great task before me. Who is equal to this task? Please give me wisdom that I do this well. He was asking God to help him do what was in front of him well. That's what he asked God for. This is God's response in 1 Kings 3. This is what God said. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you've asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for long life or wealth or death of your enemies, age, I will give you what you've asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has ever had. I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. Riches and fame, we're talking about fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. this is interesting. We are trying as a society, as a culture, this was God's blessing. This was something God gave to Solomon because of his approach. He says, I will bless you. I will give you fame and riches and wealth. I will bless your life that you can bless others. A lot of the effort, what we're talking about, is when you are trying to make God's blessing for yourself. Now, you can cause attention to come to yourself. People can do that. They can do things. But you cannot cause God's blessing. There is no substitute for that. And often we try to do what only God can do. So I look at Solomon's life. That was probably not our situation. So what does that mean for us? There's fame in big, in the lights, Hollywood type of way, or King Solomon type of way. I don't see any of us in that category, at least right now. Maybe in a couple weeks it'll be different, but for right now, that's not where we are. That's not the station God is. But I've wondered, do we seek fame? Do we seek that in small ways? Do we seek that attention in subtle ways that affect our hearts? What is that? What is, if you seek fame, Solomon wasn't seeking fame. He was seeking to do God's task well, and God blessed him. If you seek fame, you need to be noticed. You're looking to be noticed. Anyone do any social media stuff? Doing social media, Facebook? When you make a post on Facebook, how does it make you feel when no one responds? Nobody. No one liked your post. Until 2 days later, three people say, thank you, that was a nice post, and then you feel, okay, I feel better about myself. Part of us wants that. Need to be accepted, need to be noticed by family and friends and by coworkers. When do we go too far? I don't do a lot of social media. I used to do more stuff on Facebook. I know there's lots of social media outlets. I do a little bit. I was inspired by one man's Facebook page. I think it's up to you how you use it. I looked at his page. Everything on his page had spiritual content. The whole thing. And I go, wow, that's pretty noble. I says, how do you do that? That's not what I do. I don't try to use my page that way. I can be very sarcastic. Sometimes someone will put something on Facebook and my brain starts working. I go, I could say this. But it wouldn't be too kind or uplifting, so I'm not going to. But I thought, hey, the way I'm going to try to use this is to try to have some spiritual thoughts, to try to encourage people, to try to offer what's good and to let people know I'm thinking about them and I care about them. That's the way I'm going to try to use that. I have some people who are my friends, nobody in this room, but I have some people who are my friends. I hide some of their stuff that comes up on my Facebook page. I don't want it on there. It's not helpful. Fame in subtle ways. Is there ways we seek people's attention and call it to ourselves? Do we need to have it? How do we measure our heart? Does that ever happen where we need to have certain attention at a certain time? And if you do, you end up doing things to make that happen. If it doesn't happen, are you upset? I wasn't noticed. So one principle I want to lay out. How do you fight that? If you notice, boy, I have to have God's attention, or I have to have people's attention, I have to have this happen, and when it doesn't happen, you're upset. You're disappointed. You're a little crushed that someone didn't give you the attention you wanted. So what do? If your heart, you keep going, you try to manipulate the situation. How can you tell when that happens? Here's a principle here. God's way takes time. God's way takes time. This is, I've got two verses here. This is in Matthew 5. This is This is in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, Matthew 5, 43. I think this is the New Living Translation, this first verse. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for them. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Let's see, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors doing that. Right at the end, he talked about rewards. He says, if you only do what everyone else does, he says, love those who hate you. He says, I was thinking about this. If you do these things, if you're nice to the people, if you pray for the people who are tough on you, if you pray for those situations, if you love those who hate for you, who hate you or who have a hard time with you, when does the reward come? The reward. When does the reward come? It comes later. It comes after the race. It comes when the race is over. It may not be when you want it. Fame, if you're trying to seek that attention, you're trying to get the reward right now. Part of Christianity doesn't work that way. You're trying to get the reward right now. James 1:12 is another verse. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, having stood the test under trial, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord promised to those who love him. So he says, there are things in your life that are going to be hard. If you don't understand that, your life is going to be confusing. There are trials in life that are going to be hard. After you persevere, you will receive a crown of life. When do you get that? When do you get the glory? When do you get the reward? Later. The crown of life, when does that come? Part of the reward is later. Part of fame, part of seeking fame and seeking that attention, is trying to get the reward now. It's trying to have the reward now. That is not one of the promises of the Christian life, is trusting God that the reward comes later. So we have to trust God that that's how the Christian life works. I was reading John 12 today. John 12, 24 and 25. Jesus was talking about dying. He says, I'm going to go die. He says, talking with his disciples, he says, if a kernel of wheat doesn't fall to the ground and die, it doesn't produce anything. Fame doesn't do that. Fame says, look at me and my life right now. It's really the opposite of what Jesus said. I'm going to give my life that others can live. I'm going to die. That is not fame. All right. I want to talk about, I found this really interesting study about fame and who is famous. Who is famous? There's a book that came out last year by Cambridge University Press. It's called Who is Bigger? Where Historical Figures Rank. The interesting thing about these studies, most of them are very slanted towards people who are alive now because they're very popular now. These two guys here, Stephen Skinner and Charles Ward, are not statistics, they write algorithms. As a matter of fact, this guy, Stephen Skinner, if you go on YouTube, this is my, if you can't fall asleep late at night, you type in his name and type in algorithm. He has hour lectures on how to write algorithms. That'll help you go to sleep. That's what they do. He writes that. What they did is they wrote an algorithm to try to filter out the popularity factor of time and saying who are the most popular people of all time, not just of today, of who are the most influential, popular people of all time, and they're trying to filter out today. Does that make sense? So they're saying we're trying to find the most famous people who ever lived and filter out the, so for instance, our president or any politician or the mayor of West Chicago, he's popular right now because people know him. They know who he is because he's, but 10 years from now, they may not know him or he may not be as popular. This algorithm is written to filter all that out. Pretty interesting. So I want to look at who is the most famous. Who is the most famous throughout time? So, internet study, here are some numbers of people who are the most famous. So, I'll throw this out here. Justin Bieber. You guys know Justin Bieber. So, we have the top 100 people, the top 1,000 people, the top 10,000 people. Justin Bieber's kind of, they're going, he doesn't have a lot of staying power. He ranks an all-time, the way their algorithm works, he is the 8,663rd most popular person of all time. I don't know a lot about Justin Bieber, but I've heard some things. So, a few other people. Bob Dylan. He ranks much higher than Justin Bieber. More, however that works, he's the 130th. Madonna, 121. Just so you know, this study does not rank good or bad. It just ranks popularity. So just want you to know, no questions. No questions. Our current president beat Madonna. Barack Obama, 111th. Now, I want you to know, I found this funny, that the race between Elvis and Socrates, very close. Very close. Socrates won by 1 point. I just want you to know that. Just edged out Elvis. Socrates was 68. So I want you to take a piece of paper. Take a piece of paper out, a little paper and pencil in front of you. I want to go through the 10 most famous people of all time. I want you to pick three. Anybody. Now, let me give you a little coaching here. I want you to pick three and see how you do. I'm going to give you the top 10. I want to see if you can get three of the most famous people of all time. Now, let me give you a clue. Could be religious figures. Could be political figures. Could be military people or generals. Could be anything. Not all good people. Most famous people. Okay. Worldwide. 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 So just pick three, write them down. See how we do here. Just a guess. You guys got three? Need another minute? Okay. Ready to start? I'm going to go from 10 towards number 1, okay? Honest, I wouldn't have guessed some of these. Number 10. Thomas Jefferson. Number 10, Thomas Jefferson. Number 9, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. Number 8, Aristotle. Aristotle. Got a hand up and back. Number 7, Adolf Hitler. I did not say good. Good, yeah. I kind of had to throw that in there. Our tendency is we want to only think of the good things. Adolf Hitler. Number 7. Number 6,
George Washington.
Number five is interesting. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, ahead of George Washington. Number four, Muhammad. Number three, William Shakespeare. Number two, Napoleon. Napoleon. So we're down to number one. Filtering out this, and they measure this by looking at who people are talking about, historical information, who are interacting on the internet. This is part of an internet study. It just came out in December last year, this book. Most popular person of all time. Of all time. After 2,000 years. Even though it doesn't seem like it here in America. Most popular person of all time. More people talking, conversing is Jesus Christ. The most popular, most famous person of all time. These guys are not Christians, as far as I can tell. Looking at those YouTube algorithm studies, they're not talking about, they're just doing numbers. Most popular person of all time. I'll give you a quote that one of the authors wrote here. The significance of Jesus is shown by his mind share, which is how much people are conversing about him. Today, fully 2,000 years after his death, we don't see the same happening for Justin Bieber. That's one of the things they were trying to measure. Over time, what happens to a person's reputation? Jesus Christ changed the world. He changed the world. The world has never been the same. He brought truth and light and hope. One of the things that happens with fame is we people, whoever is seeking that, is calling attention to ourselves and focusing the spotlight and seeking that for yourself. So if you find that, I don't know if you've ever had that, oh, I hope they pick me, I hope they mention me, I hope I get, I've felt that. They're giving accolades, they're talking about people. I've been recognized for what I did. God, when God lifts you up, that is God's way. So how do we deal with that? If you find yourself caught in a little bit of that, here are some things you can do. How do you deal with that temptation? One thing you can do is promote God first and His truth. We talk about lots of things. If you promote God first and His truth and what He stands for first, take the time to do that. I was trying to give, we've been giving away these life books. I think we've probably given away just under 2,000, probably 1,900 as our little church here, which is actually pretty amazing if you look at the size of our group here. 2,000 of them. I was trying to give one away to a guy who was giving me a ride somewhere. My car was broken. And he gave me the most amazing compliment. He didn't know it was a compliment. Actually, he was trying to blow me off. I said, hey, have you heard of this? He says, this has truth in it. This is by the Gideons. I was trying to give him this Gospel of John. And he said, yeah, I heard you talking about that to the other guy. And I thought, if I'm caught for anything, may I be caught talking about what God says. May I be caught doing that. And he says, yeah, I heard you doing that with the other guy. And I think he was trying to go, yeah, I know, the Bible stuff, whatever. But he, what a compliment, what a compliment. One of the things you can do is, yeah, they're talking about God again. He wants to talk about some spiritual thing again. It's one thing you can do, promote the things of God. This is not the American way. This next one. If you find yourself tempted with fame, to want attention, to be seeking that, to get that, share some of your weaknesses. This is what Paul did. He said, I will share my weaknesses that God would show himself to be strong. We know we need to be careful with this. Our world doesn't appreciate that. With friends, with people who you have a chance to show that God has worked in your life, share some of your weaknesses. It's one of the things Paul did. How do you deal with that? Say, I need God's help. This is something I'm weak in, and God is helping me because I'm not good at it. I need His help. It's okay. That's who we are. We're fragile people. We all need God's help. To not admit that, it was kind of a denial of the way things really are. So in fame, and I'm not saying it's wrong to acknowledge people or bless them or thank them or to want that, but if you're doing things to get that attention, you're going a little too far. Is to let God bless you. Let God lift you up. Let God do that. You cannot create God's blessing in your life. And sometimes we try to do that. We don't even realize we're doing it. Wait for God. Seek Him. You tell Him, boy, God, this is disappointing. I really wanted to be acknowledged, accepted. I wanted some recognition here. When we seek that for ourselves, when God lifts you up, it'll be much better than what we can arrange for ourselves. So I'm going to bring the music team up and we're going to sing again. I'm going to end a little early to leave a little time to send our Nicaraguan team out. So why